it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and a lot of 49ers news coming out today. I'll go through it right now, and then we'll get into it. George Kittle is going to miss the next four games. He's on the injured list with a hamstring. Brock Purdy is questionable for Sunday with a toe and a shoulder injury. Jake Moody, the kicker, has been waived. They're going to bring kickers in this week, obviously, and figure it out for Sunday's game against the Saints. Juwan Jennings, no update on him, but the word late yesterday was it might not be serious or as serious as once initially thought. So that's what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers, and they head to New Orleans on Sunday, and they're going to be playing without George Kittle, and we'll find out, Evan, about Purdy and about Jennings. But how do you handle the Purdy situation if he's not quite feeling right?
I mean, I still think he gives you your best chance to win if he's on the field. So, you know, the toe injury to me is, I think, more concerning. The shoulder wasn't his throwing shoulder. So, but you pointed this out yesterday. One of the things that Brock Purdy quietly does well is evade pressure. And he's able to move the pocket. He can extend the play. I mean, shoot, the jump ball touchdown to Tonjes was created because Brock Purdy extended the play with his legs. If his toe hampers his mobility, I think we're going to see that impact the Niners' offense on Sunday. So I think Purdy's, like the toe injury, the foot, is probably the most concerning thing to me.
Yeah, I don't know how extensive either injury is. What do you think about, I don't know what the right answer is, whether you take into account who the opponent is or not. I tend to, on the surface, just say that shouldn't be a factor. If a guy can play, he should play. If he can't, he can't. But, I mean, the Saints they're not supposed to be very good this year.
They almost beat Arizona, by the way.
They did. All right, we got some lines here that are pretty active, so let's get into it. Let's get to who's been waiting the longest. Bobby in Los Altos is going to start us off. What's up, Bobby? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about CMC, and I'm in full agreement with you, Steiny, but before, I'm a little sad that Goo's not here because I'm going to say the most Goo thing ever. We're trailing by the Dodgers by 7 games. And we got 7 games against them in the next 2 weeks. So we could win the division, bro.
Oh, the Giants. The
So, you know, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad talking about Jung Hoo Lee versus Kyler Murray in 2 weeks, if that's what it comes to. But and then Jake Moody, look, good luck, bro. I always think about, like, Youngway Koo, to be honest with you. Giddy Gids knows his career in San Diego was a doinking disaster when it started. And I think statistically he's like the most accurate kicker in the league. So, you know, good luck, Jake Moody. But CMC, look, this is what it is. The fact is, you know, when your dad is tall, you're probably going to be tall, right? Because you inherit the genes. And there's something about them Shanahan genes that say, I'm going to destroy and run a running back into the ground. Even if this running back's a generational talent, I'm going to have him on the field for, like, what, 50-plus plays? Make him carry the ball and get tackled 22 times and then, you know, what, have 9 catches? Irresponsible. I don't care if we would have won that. I wouldn't have been mad if you lost to Mike McDonald in Seattle if you're going to help save this guy. Obviously, we don't know what's ever going to make him get hurt or not hurt. But, my God, to give him that many carries and that many touches in the first game, irresponsible. There's something wrong with that Shanahan gene. They just don't respect the health of running backs.
You know what, Bobby? Thanks for the call. I don't think a lot of coaches respect the, you know, players and their longevity. I mean, when these guys' careers are so short, I think most coaches feel like they're just commodities, and you gotta use them up as much as possible when they're healthy. And I think Shanahan is pretty old school when it comes to that kind of thing. If guys are going to play, he's going to treat them like they're completely healthy. And if their performance is compromised at all, I think he's like, forget it. Just, I need health. I need a healthy player who can do it all. I can't be limited by any of my shortcomings, or I can't be limited by some injuries by players on a team under the guise of having to protect them.
Well, it's hard to protect someone in football, but to Bobby's point, this isn't just a Kyle thing. This is a Mike thing. Like, this is a Shanahan thing. If you look at the Denver Broncos in the early 2000s, when Mike Shanahan was head coach, you go from Terrell Davis to Olandis Gary to Mike Anderson, back to TD, to Clinton Portis, back to Mike Anderson, to Tatum. Like, the amount of guys that he ran into the ground every single season when he was in Denver lends you to believe that if Shanahan is of the same school of thought, which I believe he is, you're not going to be able to keep running backs upright. Now, the one positive, and this is the other side of the coin that I am willing to give Shanahan the benefit of the doubt for, you win. Like, if you do this and lose, it's one thing. But Kyle Shanahan, along with his father, have shown that this ideology of running backs into the ground or using guys up, it produces victories. And so Bobby is 100% right that it might be irresponsible to give a guy who just popped up in the injury report on Thursday 31 touches on Sunday. They don't win the football game without Christian McCaffrey touching the ball 31 times.
Probably not.
And if Christian McCaffrey doesn't touch the ball probably 20 to 25 times again this Sunday, I don't know if they're even going to be able to beat the lowly New Orleans Saints. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But I think that Kyle Shanahan is of the old school thought, which is, I got to find a way to win football games. And if it's going to cost me a player or two here, well, that's what they signed up for, because this is the NFL.
Yeah. This from the YouTube chat, JFA. This is an NFL thing. Almost every GM and coach run their running backs into the ground because that's their job. They get paid. I wonder if it's like a chicken and the egg thing. The value of running backs has gone down, and maybe it's because they're run into the ground to such a degree that you just need more and more of them, and it's not really an importance of the position as opposed to how many people you just have to cycle through there, because it's such an unforgiving position in the NFL. So let's go to Chris is in San Jose. Hey, Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to talk about the injuries. Obviously, it's the NFL. Guys are going to get hurt. There's only so much you can do. But with all the analytics, the list of who's injured the most, is anyone in the organization looking at the list and saying, who's trending with the least amount of injuries each year, and what can we adjust to try to get to where they are? I mean, obviously, Kyle's a great coach. He knows what he's doing. The Niners have done great things. But you can make adjustments to what you're doing, which is, I think, why Kyle gets so much hate in the big picture, because he's arrogant. He won't adjust. And it goes all the way down to his building a callous mentality. What I just heard of, if they don't build a callous, their teams might not be as good, and this Kyle produces wind, it's like, yes, the 49ers are competitive. He has no rings. You need to make an adjustment, and he does it with play calling. He does it with clock management. He does it with not knowing the rules in overtime. He does it with injuries. This guy does not make adjustments. Yes, they win games. They don't win Super Bowls. Mike Shanahan has rings. Kyle does not. Make an adjustment.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. That was Chris in San Carlos.
No, I appreciate it. Strong call, Chris. Well, I would say to this, so if Kyle Shanahan runs his running backs into the ground the same way his dad did, and his dad, like, if he's, you know, trying to be a spitting image of his father, well, you just said his father has rings. I don't know. It's just like, to me, you are kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, I know people want head coaches to adjust, but that's kind of what you get when you sign up for a Kyle Shanahan team.
So, what, and I these adjustments, I'm always fascinated by.
I think Shanahan is of the, Kyle, is of the belief that if he does things his way, eventually he's going to be able to break through.
No doubt.
And it hasn't happened yet, and I completely understand people's frustration with that. But, you know, again, it's like over the last 8 years, have his teams been the most injured? Close to. I don't know if they are, but the numbers would suggest that they're certainly one of the most injured teams in football. They've also been one of the most successful teams in football. So it's hard to... I really think it's hard for someone like Kyle Shanahan to step out of his own head and say, I'm going to do something different.
Well, I kind of agree, and I'm thinking that Kyle Shanahan's now in his ninth year with the 49ers. They've gone to two Super Bowls, and I'm sure that in his mind, he looks at it as, well, the first 2 years we had no talent, and the 2 years we didn't make the postseason, it was just ridiculous injuries. So my method is proven. I do think there is something to that, that my method is proven, and it's the way I go about it. And this is one of those things where you hire Kyle Shanahan to be this creative play caller and, you know, a brilliant offensive mind, but this is the way he runs a program. And you can't ask.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Him to deviate from what his core belief is, and that is you got to run the football and you got to build up this callus, whatever that really means, although I think I understand it in theory. And so if you don't like it, I think it's then you can't have Kyle as the coach. If you don't like it, if this is something that has, you know, bothers you. I'm just talking about like the front office. If they really think that this is a direct result of Kyle Shanahan, well, then it's like, okay, dude, you got to change or
maybe
we have to make a decision.
Well, or it's something that they're okay with living with because he's winning games. And that's what, in the NFL, if you don't win, you're not going to have a job. And so I, like, all right, let's take Christian McCaffrey. And is the long-term health of McCaffrey more important than perhaps one game? Yeah, but I don't think you can look at a 17-game season in the NFL like that. What we talked about it going into week one. What's the reason why you love football? Because every single weekend is the Super Bowl. Every single Sunday, it's the most important game on planet Earth. I think that's how these coaching staffs look at it also. Like, they're not looking at it like, well, I got to make sure McCaffrey's, you know, if he pushes it here, you know, I'm not going to have him for a couple weeks or, you know, we love the NFL because they don't coach like the NBA. They don't sit guys. You don't load manage players. It's one of the reasons we hate watching basketball sometimes because I don't know who's going to be in the starting lineup. The MLB, same deal. Each game is not as important because you got 162 of them. So you got to think about how you're going to spread your bullpen out, if you're going to stretch a guy, if you're going to push a guy, if a guy really needs to play this much. In the NFL, that does not happen. You are on the field, you are 100% healthy, or you are sitting. And the Niners have had to deal with, I think, both the good and the bad in that.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Let's go out to Chris in San Jose. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Sure.
The 49ers offense is what it was last year. It is chaos. If you look at CMC, when he runs the ball, he's not. You can't tackle him with one person. He's hit and tackled by three defenders every time he touches the ball. He's an old salt in the running back parlance. He's an old salt. with a history of injuries. The last thing you want to do is give him the ball that many times. Kittle, he also gets hit. You can't tap him with one player. Three guys can bring him down, and that's he gets a lot of punishment. So if you take a chart and put red dots where the injuries occur, it's the middle of their offense. Pearsall gets his balls right by the sidelines because he has a small frame. He catches it and steps out of bounds. That's cute, but you're not going to go far not allowing him to go across the middle, and your quarterback cannot throw deep. So you're handicapped. Short passes, between the hash marks. Your receivers and your players and offense are going to get tattooed, and that's what's happening. It's cute when they run on the field. They look like basketball players. Look at the wide receivers. His offensive scheme requires small players who are fast. When it all works, it's good, but you pay a price for that cute, cute offense that he runs. Your players are getting wiped out, period.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Would he not consider that 45-yard dot to Ricky Pearsall a deep pass?
Well, that's the first one I thought of, and he did catch a ball over the middle.
Yeah, he caught a 26-yard in route on the first drive on a 3rd and 8 over the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious.
I will say this, and so I was watching the game Sunday with a couple buddies, and it was about, I think it was early third quarter. I remember saying, you know, I will say this. This offense doesn't look explosive or dynamic. Like, I didn't think it looked pretty vanilla the first half and for most of the second half. Like, that's the one thing I feel like not having Debo out there, and I probably remember Debo from 3 years ago, not last year. But that offense didn't scare me with big plays. And I know they made one when they had to. But I just thought that, you know, their offense was just so-so on Sunday.
I think it changed when George Kittle went out. I mean, that first drive, they walked right down the field. And then Kittle got hurt, and a lot changed. I mean, I also think that this team is not I think that they're going to have trouble running the football, not just even when Kittle was in. I mean, McCaffrey was, I think, 22 for 69 yards, you know, 3.3 a pop. Even Brian Robinson was less than 4 yards a carry. I mean, they didn't run the ball very well against the Seattle Seahawks. So I think this is a team that's going to be predicated on how well they can run the ball. And they didn't do it well on Sunday, which is probably why their offense didn't look very efficient.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up in 25 minutes, we have NFL Odyssey insider Ross Tucker. He's joining us every other Tuesday, and we'll talk a lot of Niners with him. Let's go to Steph in Concord. What's up, Steph? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I want to know that I don't see anybody talking is the strength and conditioning coach and staff, because their job is to not only predict a player's tendency for injuries, but to correct that. And, you know, we're always injured. Shanahan, any coach. I mean, that's part of football. I get it. But I think there's got to be some blame there.
Yeah, I think that's the way some 49er fans feel. I just don't know what you do about it. And knowing for sure that you know why it's happening, and injuries are tough to predict. I do feel like, and maybe it's just the sport, but like in basketball, Celebrini, it feels like, oh, he has a perfect sense of, he knows exactly when to rest a guy, exactly when a guy should cut. You know what I mean? It's just kind of built in with Celebrini that everybody kind of thinks that he can manage this stuff perfectly. And it's like, okay, why don't the Niners have a guy who can say, no, Purdy should probably sit this week. And you know what I mean? I just feel like Celebrini, and I'm sure the Niners have their guys, but well, it just feels like Celebrini's considered the
expert. It's because they're two different sports.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say Brock Purdy sits this week against the Saints. because you just want to be careful, right? That's the equivalent of like 7 basketball games. So when Steph Curry sits one night on the tail end of a back-to-back, that's completely different than Brock Purdy sitting one game in the NFL. If you lose that game, that might be the difference between you making the playoffs and not. Whereas the Warriors and a lot of NBA teams feel like a player missing one game, or maybe, you know, 10 back-to-backs over the course of a year, that's not going to cost you as much. I mean, that's the reason why they do it. But like we never say in the NFL, well, you got to think about sitting him because he's questionable. No, like if he's healthy, he's going to be on the field. That's just the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, but we have no idea the extent of any of these injuries, and we never have an idea of who's playing through what and who's healthier than someone else. And so whenever it comes to, oh, what should we do with Purdy this week? It's like, I don't know. Like, we don't know the extent of it. To me, it's pretty simple. If he's not 100% and you're worried that he could do more damage to it, sit him. If he looks like he's 100% and he says he feels good, and then he plays.
But this is the thing. It's like by maybe even after week one, like no one's 100%.
Well, yeah, and each...
Brock Purdy, his first season as starting quarterback when he had to come in the middle of the year, won in Seattle, a place, by the way, he has not lost after Sunday. He won in Seattle the week after he broke a rib against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which was his first career start in the NFL. So from the start, Brock Purdy has demonstrated that he can play through pain and still help you win games.
Right. But the player decides what he can, like, what he can play through or not. And what I'm saying is if Brock Purdy thinks he can play through the toe, forget about the shoulder for now, and the doctor clears it, then he's going to play. If Brock Purdy's like, no, something's really, first of all, it hurts, I don't have the mobility, I can't cut, you know, then you don't play him. But I do think Purdy makes that decision. And what I mean is that, you know, everybody's got their threshold. And I think Purdy's pretty tough. There's no doubt about it. I think most of these guys are pretty tough. And they decide what's just, in, you know, something they can play through and what they can. And different guys have different thresholds.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I don't think it's a situation where they decide if they play. Like, they practice during the week, and if they're not, if they're going to be a hindrance to their team, the medical staff will identify that and say, you're not playing this week. Like, if Juwan, so Juwan Jennings on Sunday, I think it was Barrows that was talking about this, but like Juwan Jennings was trying to catch footballs on the sideline in Seattle, but he couldn't raise his arm. So could he catch a ball below the belt or around his chest? Sure. But you need 100% mobility as a flexibility, like range of motion as a wide receiver to catch a football. If you can't do that, you can't help your team. And so Juwan Jennings didn't go back into the game. Like, that's where, yeah, did Juwan want to go back in? Sure. But you're physically not fit enough to play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the injuries are, but if they were saying that Jennings couldn't lift his arm over his shoulder, then he can't play, obviously. I just think it sounds to me like with Purdy, it's going to be more of a gray area than that, and it's going to be, he might not be 100%, but he's going to still be, he's not fully limited, and that this is where you think if 90% of Purdy's better than 100% of Mac Jones, and if you don't think he can injure it any further, you know, I mean, I think teams make this decision all the time, and it depends on what a guy's pain threshold is. But I think Purdy's going to play Sunday. Why? I don't know. Because I don't a toe to keep a guy out. I think he can battle through that.
I mean, I'm also of the belief that a less than 100% Brock Purdy is better than a 100% Mac Jones.
Yeah, and you got to kind of measure that, too, for sure. 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up in 20 minutes, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. He's going to be joining us every other week during the football season. Love talking to Ross, and he's going to be joining us at 11:30. Once again, the news of the day, George Kittle on the injured list. He's going to miss 4 games. Brock Purdy, toe and shoulder injury. He's questionable for Sunday. Jake Moody has been waived. And Juwan Jennings' status, still unclear heading into Sunday's game. 888-957-9570 is the number. How do 49er fans rationalize or think about all these injuries that seem to happen on a consistent basis? 888-957-9570. That segment brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.